Paratooth Radio is a proud member of Evergreen Podcasts on killerpodcasts.com.
Christian and non-Christian paranormal investigators. They have two different views, and it seems as if neither of them can ever agree on anything. So what happens when a mainstream view of the paranormal crosses paths with the Christian view? Something.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to a brand new episode of Paratooth Radio. My name is Eric.
I'm Justin.
And today, we are sitting in Bismarck, North Dakota, by a bonfire, drinking beer, and enjoying summer. We thought we'd give this a try, being that, you know, being stuck indoors kind of sucks sometimes.
Yeah, especially recording. Mm-hmm. So if you guys hear background noise, we're going to do the best we can to filter it out. I think it kind of adds to the ambience of what I've dubbed over the campfire. And Eric has asked me this. Heidi from formerly from Talk Supernatural, has asked me, you know, what is this all about? So I want to explain a little about what this is. I'm sure I've brought this up on episodes before, but how we got started paranormal podcasting was Eric and I would sit around a campfire, just talk about theories or stories or whatever about the supernatural. As we are right now drinking beer, sometimes smoking cigars, and we would just talk for hours. So we decided to start a online radio show. Had never heard of anything like it at the time. Had never even heard the word podcast, which is odd because it had started at least, what, 3 or 4 years before we started?
Yeah, it's pretty young when we started. It wasn't too popular, and we had obviously had not only no clue what we were doing, but really no means in how to grow it. Because right. Even then, like, social media was still, you know, Facebook was still relatively young.
Well, at that time, then. We were on, what was the other
Blog one? Talk?
No, what was the social media that we...
MySpace.
Mm-hmm. See, it's been that long since I can't even remember what it was.
How could you forget it? It was yours. Your space. Never mind.
Yeah, I got it. So... something I thought we would start with this series is talking about different creatures where our perspective has kind of changed. And we have kind of discussed this a little bit on Paratruth Radio, but as we've progressed, it is now 2022. We started in 2008, 2009-ish. Mm-hmm. So we're going to start with the vampire. What knowledge has changed anything that you think about when you think of the vampire, or has it changed?
I think a lot of its weaknesses have changed, or at least are more broadly understood from what was believed back in 2008 when we started. You know, because there's that cliche thing where vampires can only be killed with wooden stakes. They would die in sunlight, burn up or whatever, turn to dust. You know, things like that, weaker during the day than at night. But when you start reading some of the old stories, when you think of Stoker's Dracula, for example, mm-hmm. reading through that, there, and that's, you know, that has some history behind it. And that's where a lot of these vampire stories have originated, were through books like that or stories like that. And then, of course, so-called eyewitness accounts during... medieval times and mm-hmm. you know, early Europe. And what I learned is that vampires, you know, they don't turn to dust in the sun. That's a Hollywood thing. It's a gimmick. They're weakened, but they can still live in sunlight. They can walk through sunlight. You know, they're not burned up or anything like that. The wooden stake, again, that tends to be more of a Hollywood-based thing. You know, when you read Dracula, for example, he's killed with a giant knife through the heart, and then his head is chopped off. Now, the thing that has changed or has remained, of course, is being stabbed through the heart and having the head chopped off. So those are two things that do remain, but the means or method in which to do it is vastly open to interpretation and one's view, because obviously if a vampire can be killed with anything through the heart, then a bullet through the heart is just as effective as a knife, just as effective as a wooden stake, and so on and so forth. So
right. You said the original story was a knife?
That we said? For Dracula, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's interesting, because I've actually never read all the way through the book. I guess for me, the one thing that I have kind of grown into realizing over the years is maybe that these legends that have come about are not so much from a supernatural creature, but you and I had interviewed somebody who identifies as a vampire, not a sanguine vampire, but a she wore teeth, Lady Anne. But maybe it was people all along, and these legends came about because nobody could explain what was going on, but they would see people doing these things.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think there's probably some accuracy in that. The one thing that is, I think, drastically changed is the fear factor of vampires. You know, we growing up, they were something to be scared of, and nowadays it's something that people relish to be. And, you know, whether that's through cosplay or going to these secret underground vampire bars or blood bars, whether they're psychic vampires or, you know, whatever, it's becoming much more common to meet people who are, I guess, self-proclaiming themselves as a vampire of some sort, which I think even when we started with podcasting, claiming that kind of thing was a little darker and people were more into like the blood magic and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's changed quite a bit over the last several years.
Well, you brought up the psychic vampire. That's something that you don't really hear about in the legends. That's something relatively new.
Right. Yeah, it's definitely more new agey. But that's not to say that vampires weren't psychic, per se, you know, like...
There weren't psychic vampires back then, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, and of course, when we think of psychic vampires, we're thinking of people who drain energy or consume, and not life forces, but the energy that people give off or certain items give off. And of course, a psychic vampire back in medieval times and early Europe, even early U.S., like, those were vampires who can manipulate people using psychic abilities. They wouldn't necessarily drain energy, but they would manifest a psychic connection with an individual that they wanted to prey on. And that's something we see often through the history books of vampires.
Right. Has anything recently, after doing Night Stalkers Paranormal Radio, doing Forgotten Truth Radio, doing Paratruth Radio, has anything come up that is new or different for you compared to way back when? Like, as we've talked to people, we haven't really had someone who absolutely claims to be a psychic vampire or anything like that on the show. But has anything come up where it's like a surprise or an aha moment for you?
I don't think so, because I feel like we've been in the game long enough to see the changes subtly over the years. So it's not something that's just, oh, that makes sense. You know, this is something that has steadily grown within the culture, and I think therefore we just kind of grew with it, you know.
Yeah.
Like looking back, I can't tell you the day that I thought, "Oh, psychic vampires are a thing." I don't remember that because it was just so subtle that there are little imprints of it here and there in the textbooks, or with people that we were talking to, and now it's very prominent. You know, right. So I think just with the changing time, it's something that we just steadily grew into, and I think that's often how a lot of it is. Unless it's like a story like, you know, Slender Man, for example, that just popped up one day. Vampires are much more distinguished, I think, and certainly have a much larger fan base and a much larger history and legend behind them. So, yeah.
So this is going to sound like a radical theory, and I come up with these theories, but I don't necessarily believe them myself. One of the things that a lot of people believe is the legend of the vampire came about during the plague, and that the reason that they thought these people were going to come back to life is their bodies would start to bleed through the eyes, through the mouth, before they died and even after they died. But what if the plague was set on by vampires to bring about the fear factor of their species?
Yeah, it's radical, isn't it? I think I think that could be a decent theory. If you know, vampires are real, they could have absolutely started the Black Plague to create some sort of fear factor. But then the question would be, why do that unless you're being hunted? Because otherwise, I would think they'd want to be invited into, you know,
yeah,
by people into their homes. But I, you know, the vampire legend goes, or the lore goes well beyond the Black Plague, but I think the Black Plague did spark a significant amount of fear into those legends, or you know, empowered them, both of them, the vampire and the werewolf back then, and even the ghosts because of all the deaths that were happening. So I think there was a significant change in the way people felt about some of the legends behind these monsters, but whether or not it started or originated there, I don't know. It's possible.
Well, like I said, and that could be just something that comes from fiction too, because I have kind of heard different stories that are kind of like that, like the one series that I've really enjoyed listening to the audiobooks for. I know I bring these up a lot, guys, but it's prevalent into how I think for certain times. Is the Dresden Files, which is about a wizard, and he's fighting these supernatural creatures. And the one storyline is about the red vampires, who are the blood sucking vampires. They are from what he calls the Never Never, and they put on a flesh mask, but under the flesh mask they're really these flabby bat-like creatures that drink human blood. Their spit is narcotic, and they Bram Stoker met one and created the story trying to document, but everybody thought it was nothing but fiction.
I haven't heard that one, so I am curious of your source on that tidbit of information.
It's a fictional story, but it makes my mind go to think about, you know, what if all of these fiction stories are not stories, but people's perceptions in the collective consciousness picking up on something that's really there, and we're meant to think it's not.
Right. No, I mean, you're not wrong. And that is certainly possible. But in that case, like, I wonder how much of these creatures are more so a production of people's minds as opposed to reality. Like, people become vampires because their mind thinks they're vampires. You know, right. Much like lycanthropy. People who believe they're disorder. Right, werewolves, but, you know, they're not.
So we were corrected on that, remember, way back when, that it's only a very small percentage where that happens.
With lycanthropy?
Lycanthropic disorder, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, that's Sarge.
You don't remember that episode?
I remember the episode, but I howl way too often sometimes. So I don't know.
You do howl at the full moon way more than
the normal some human
people.
Being. Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Something that has really changed my mind about vampirism is the psychic vampire thing. And I think you had watched the documentary with me with Michelle Bellinger in mm-hmm. it, and she was talking about how a psychic vampire feeds and all that stuff.
Yep.
Which, Michelle, if you're listening to Paratruth Radio, we would love to have you on as a guest because it's something that's intrigued us for a very long time, and we, like I said, have not had somebody on who has talked to us about psychic vampirism. But after learning about that and meeting certain people that I feel has just drained the life out of me for a day, it makes a lot of sense. And I know you've probably met people like that too.
Yeah. You know, sometimes that person is myself, draining energy from myself. You know, I think the thing with psychic vampires is you have, it's kind of split into two groups. You got the people who know what they are and can do, and then you got the people who have no clue what they're doing. You know, they don't realize that they're draining. Whether that's actually psychic vampirism, I mean, I don't know if that would qualify.
Right.
You know, but the fact that you can be around individuals who just simply drain your energy without knowing that they're doing it is still the type of vampirism. It's just something that they can't control and can't consciously comprehend that, you know, that that's what they're doing or what they are. So,
well, I would like to know if somebody like that, if they feel energized after an encounter like that.
And you know what? And I'll bet if you ask them, they'll have no clue. So they'd have to do a little study to see if indeed, after talking to people, they do feel more energized. Because, you know, I think it's one of those things where, because they don't comprehend the fact that they're doing it, they never really know or can say that they're more energized afterwards. Right. So then after a few more tests, with it consciously in their mind, they might come to find, like, oh, yeah, I'm way more energized.
Right. Another really interesting question about the whole research part of it is if anybody in any government group, CIA, FBI, whatever, have done any type of research, since they've done research on psychic phenomenon, if they've done a research on something like psychic vampirism.
I wouldn't doubt. I'm sure they've done research on all kinds of legends and stories that we've talked about here on the show. You know, I mean, psychic vampires, but I wouldn't doubt they've actually looked into actual vampires. I mean, if the government's coming forward and saying they don't know what the unidentified flying objects or unidentified aerial phenomena is, but that they have significant evidence to prove that there's something there, then they know there's something out there other than just humans. So why not look into what are these vampire creatures? What are, you know, these other monsters? Maybe not all of them, but I'm sure there's been a significant amount that they've looked at. Bigfoot, for example. Right. I would not doubt if the government or the military have not looked into Sasquatch to find out, like, what exactly it is.
Right. Well, I mean, I have no doubt they've probably at least looked into the sightings.
Mm-hmm.
So, this is going to be sort of a rabbit trail episode too, because something we experienced on 4th of July, since you brought up the UAP, and this was in front of a bunch of people, and, you know, thinking about it, it could have possibly been a drone, but we were watching the fireworks from my backyard, and out of nowhere, both Eric and I caught something kind of at the same time. Neither of us said something until Eric's like, "Do you see that?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm already on the same page as you are." But there was this light in the sky. It absolutely looked like it was way farther in the atmosphere than what a drone should be. But it was a light. It was glowing, and it was kind of moving a little bit faster than I think drones move, but then again, I haven't really messed around with drones. They could absolutely probably move as fast as this thing was. But the weird thing was is the light would dwindle out. And then all of a sudden, it had moved, and it was in a different spot in the sky. No other type of light but like a white light. And it would sit there for a little bit, zap out, and then it would appear again in another spot. And it sat there for a while the fireworks were going, and then we saw it fly off into the distance. So, it was interesting, but what do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, drones do tend to move pretty quickly overall. They're fast, but what was odd to me is that the light, it kept disappearing. Like, yeah, you would see the light and then it would vanish. And what's also odd for me, or to me, is I've seen a lot of drones over the years, and usually they have a red and or green light on them as kind of like to mark them as being
a drone
or an aerial craft. The fact that this had no other markings other than the white light that we were seeing, which almost looked like a reflection from the sun that was setting, that was weird, because there should have been some other blinking lights on it or something stating that it was recording or telling us what exactly it was. But and this wasn't like a little tiny light like most drones have. This was, the whole thing was glowing white, or like a off yellow, it was like a little warmer hue. It was interesting. And, you know, and I think what was more intriguing about it is that it wasn't just you and I who saw it, but, you know, some of the people that were over for that party had noticed it too. And, you know, it was taking their eyes away from the show, the fireworks show, enough. Like, that's how interesting it was. It's like everyone's eyes were on what that dot was in the sky flying around, not the fireworks.
But, we did some investigations. We will get into those on another episode, because we do want to kind of have the clients on to talk about it, the footage that we picked up. But I wanted to bring that up before I forgot about it, and we haven't had a chance to talk about it on air since we had recorded before that happened.
Mm-hmm.
So back to vampires. We've kind of really discussed a lot, and we'll go to break here just very shortly, but something I've probably never asked you, but if somebody ever asked you to go to a vampire bar, would you do it?
Probably.
Just to see what it's about?
Yeah. I mean, I'm more than curious enough, you know, and I guess it depends on what exactly a vampire bar is. Like, are we talking about, like, the underground stuff that we've discussed on the show before? Or is this more of, like, legit monsters that we're going to hang out? I mean, is this Dusk to Dawn or whatever?
I mean, how would you ever really know?
That's true.
Yeah, I mean, if I had any indication that it was anything like Dust to Dawn, no, hell no. I ain't getting in that mess.
If it was called the Titty Twister, you wouldn't be going to that.
No.
But if it was like the people that identify as vampires and
absolutely. Absolutely. And like if it was one of those bars like we have back in Cleveland where you can go meet up with somebody, test, you know, blood test or whatever to make sure you're clean, and that's how they, you know, did their thing, I guess. Like I'd be like, yeah, let's go. Let's see what's happening here.
Would you allow somebody to feed off of you?
Hell no. Hell to the no. I mean, just the way that sounds is too creepy. Do you allow somebody to feed off of you?
No.
Would you?
Probably not.
Probably not.
I can't say unless I'm there.
So maybe
much,
if you're in the moment.
How much I've been drinking or something like that.
Or further vampire seducing you or using their psychic ability to trick you.
Yeah, if it's a real vampire, right.
Maybe if it was a scare bear.
Inside joke, you guys won't. I don't even want to go into that. All right, folks, we're getting about to that point, so we're going to take a quick break. You've been listening to Pair Truth Radio right here on killerpodcast.com, and we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we will be right back with Pair Truth Radio.
Coming up on 5 Minute News, I'm Anthony Davis. You might think it's partisan because maybe it's critical of one side or the other, but it's not, it's just the truth. And I think that's also something that's kind of unusual for Americans listening to the radio or to podcasts because the news landscape in the States has been so partisan for so many decades. So 5 Minute News is verified, truthful, independent, unbiased, and essential world news daily.
Don't you know that you're a grown-up?
I'm a grown-up.
Me too.
Yep, me too. But you know, these days, being a grown-up can really suck.
Luckily, we're grown-ups who grew up in the coolest generation.
We had video arcades.
And also some of the best TV and movies ever made.
We lived the origin of awesome consumer electronics. The list goes on and on.
Yep, Generation X.
Exactly.
And we're Gen X Grown-Up.
Every week, the Gen X Grown-Up podcast explores media, tech, toys, games, and more from both yesterday and today.
Through the eyes of Generation Xers who absolutely love that stuff. You can find us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
Or find us on our website, GenXGrownUp.com. Life sucks as a grown-up. All right, you think that was good enough?
I hope so, man. I'm tired.
Who listens to a promo on a podcast and then goes and listens to a different podcast?
Right.
I've never done it.
No, right.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Paratruth Radio. As always, my name is Eric.
I'm Justin.
And again, we do apologize if the audio is a little in and out. We are outside today by the bonfire. Birds are chirping. It's summer. Dog is laying in the corner staring up at the sky.
And smiling.
And everywhere else. He is so chill right now.
Yeah.
He's got the life. We are enjoying beer, smoking a little hookah. Don't judge. And, you know, having a good time doing the show. But I do want to apologize if the audio is in and out. We will find out. And the next episode will be cleaner if necessary. We have been talking about vampires. And we've also rabbit trailed with this weird phenomena that happened on 4th of July. The night of 4th of July. With this, you know, UFO thing. I don't know. Where do we go with vampires now?
Did you have any thoughts or ideas or theories that we really haven't voiced in the past or have talked about? on this episode?
I, not necessarily.
I mean, so was, that's not a no.
That's not a no. I don't know. I guess there. I mean, I think when you look at the some of the old legends or the original legends mm-hmm. of the vampire, you know, having to sleep on the dirt of its native land, or you know, whether or not you can stop a vampire by placing a rose on its coffin that it sleeps in, or whether it even sleeps in a coffin.
Which is an interesting one.
It is an interesting one. You know, I mean, these are little fine details that I think are often overlooked nowadays, because in the broad spectrum, we just think vampire, blood, killer, monster. We don't think about the intricate details behind what a vampire actually is, at least according to the lore. So I think... I don't know. I think a lot of that is just storytell. You know, I think it's all fictional in terms of the rose and the sleeping on native dirt. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's just all fictional storytelling. But to this day, there are still bodies found with bricks shoved in the mouths mm-hmm. of yep. people and heads chopped off and stakes in the heart. So. You know, obviously the legend and the belief in that legend is still very much alive today. And there are still reports coming in that vampires exist and people are seeing them or interacting with them in some negative way.
Right. What I would love, and I don't know if you've seen anything on this, but what I would love to find out is when they find these things, I wonder if they can ever tell if these things were done pre or post mortem.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure there's some sort of an archaeologist or, you know, some other scientist that could probably look into it and tell one way or the other. I'm sure over so many years that evidence kind of deteriorates. But yeah.
But it would be interesting if we could find somebody who has done any research into that.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not really sure where else to go with it, because, I mean, you and I have talked as of late that we would love to be doing more of the on-the-ground research rather than research through just stuff we find on blogs or articles or whatever.
Right.
So I would love to be on a dig or a research team that looked into that.
I mean, I would still, well, not in just vampires either. I mean, just in cryptids in general, right, as well. You know, I mean, I know I've only got a few days left up here. But we still have time if we wanted to, even to take a drive out to Devil's Lake and do a small investigation there, just to kind of see what we can see. But yeah, it's just hard for us to do that, though. You know, to do these on, you know, boots on the ground type of investigations, because we don't get a chance to spend a lot of time like in the same area at the right. same time. So if we do it, we're pretty much on our own.
Right. Well, I never hear back from the one gal who was from Devil's Lake that I was talking to, because I had kind of put it out there, and she said she'd be willing to talk to some of her friends that still live in Devil's Lake to see if anybody knew anything about it. But I never followed up with her, so I may have to do that. With that being said, I think at one point we will be able to get out there to do that, whether it's in the near future, in a couple of years. Really all just depends on if we start having a little more free time. I should say I have a little more free time.
I got just about all the free time in the world on my end.
So, but if any of you guys that listen know of any legends that, Eric, you would like to have us investigate, when we can get to a certain area, we would love to hear what is out there. Even if we can't even do the boots on the ground and just are able to do our own research and find some stuff. We would love to do a show on any of the creatures that we haven't even really talked about.
Right. Before. Which, speaking of, I know we're, you know, early-ish July, and you're going on vacation. I'm going on vacation in September. Were we thinking still of going back to Scarefest this year?
I would love to, especially because of, I forget the actor's name, who originally played Freddy Krueger, is going to be at Scarefest this year. I just don't know, funds-wise or time-off-wise, what I would be able to do.
Okay. So hold off on that, folks. As I was going to say, give us some ideas for things in...
But with that being said, though, I think the next time we go to Scarefest, we should have a booth.
I think it'd be more fun, too, instead of just walking around seeing the same thing over and over.
I would love for people to come up to us and talk to us rather than us just kind of walking around and doing whatever.
Sure.
And maybe we can talk about this with the higher-ups for Killer Podcasts and see if they would be interested in us covering Scarefest for them one year. But with that being said, too, I do have one 3D printer. Another one's going to be coming soon, so we will be able to have some pretty cool swag for people to pick up as well.
Yep.
It won't just be us sitting there looking at each other, twiddling our thumbs
people. And you won't even have to worry about like coming up to shake our hands, because guess what? I'm not into that kind of thing. I'm too OCD. Don't touch me. So if that's intriguing to you, like, oh, good, then yeah, it'll make it a lot easier.
All right. Excuse me. All right, folks. I guess that's pretty much all we've got. I think a lot of these are going to be a little bit shorter episodes for the Over the Campfire series. But any other final thoughts before we wrapped up?
probably lock your doors. Keep garlic over your windows.
I would love to hear where that whole thing came about, too.
Yeah, that is an interesting one.
I was just thinking about the whole sleeping on the dirt from your homeland thing.
Mm.
Maybe it's not so much that they had to, they just wanted to because it reminded them of home.
Could have been. Or maybe the power that they have, maybe it originates
from
wherever they're at, from the ground, that they were raised on or spent most of their reign on. I don't know.
Yeah. So, but if you guys know of any theories that we're not talking about vampires specifically for this episode, again, please reach out to us, paratruthradio@gmail.com, or if you listen to us on our website, you can reach out right there. You can also record a message for us. I've mentioned this before, and interestingly enough, iHeartRadio has started using this type of technology, so we would love to hear from you guys. We would love to share your thoughts on air, and just hear from you guys.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely reach out. We're on all the social medias, as Eric and I have said in the past. That's about it for our first Over the Campfire show. So until next week, folks, where you'll find us same time, same channel. My name is Eric.
What?
My name is Justin.
Who are you? Who the hell are you? You doppelganger. You shapeshifter. You creepy critter.
That was weird.
That was weird, bro. What the hell was that?
My name is Justin.
God, and if I don't survive tonight, my name will still be Eric. Peace.
Oh my god.
This is Spirit Truth Radio. Come on.
In a world infatuated with comic fandom, comes a show to help us remember the talents that have inspired us.
Whoa, 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 cut.
Oh, come on, it wasn't that bad.
It's a bit dramatic. Let's just tell them about the show, guys.
We are the Canned Air Podcast.
Join us weekly for a comedic trip through pop culture.
We also welcome some cool comic creators, as well as some of the voice and screen actors that helped shape your childhood.
Find us on cannedairpodcast.com and on the Evergreen Podcast Network.